So the quote is, choice is a belief in the validity of duality. I would refine that and say our experience of choice or choice, choicefulness or our perception that there is a choice to be made, which is something we have all the time, results from the belief in duality or the experience of duality. It's a relative view, right? There is me and a situation, and I may do this or do that. I can raise my hand, I can hold it up 1 minute or 1 second. That's my experience, that's my perception. That comes from some sense that I haven't made the choice. That there's a present moment that's distinct from the future. And the future hasn't yet occurred, and I can now determine which way to go to fashion that future. That's all considered relative view or limited perception, in my understanding. And so we would have to say, from the Buddhist two views theory or teaching, which is very true. It's basically perception of duality versus realization of unity. Limited perception of duality. In this case, it's the duality of temporality or time, past, present, future. I'm perceiving a present moment distinct from a future moment that I'm perceiving I may fashion according to my choice to be this way or that. And in that's relative view. And it's as real as relative view experience is, which is, real enough. From absolute view, as far as I can tell, or the law of one, or non-distortion, there is no time, or what we call past, present, future is all now, and there is no future in that, from that perspective of the law of one, or unity, or non-duality. Therefore, yes, from absolute view, or higher self and above perspective, there is no choice is an illusion, and free will is an illusion, and time is an illusion. Time meaning linear sequentiality, right? Past, present, future. That's what we experience. Our experience of time, even with a clock, actually, but the clock is tied to third density, so the relative perception of linear sequential time, past, present, future, which is a form of duality, time and space, is bound to the mechanism we're using, bound to the mechanism of 3D space-time body, yellow ray body in space-time. So we have a clock, and the clock will show what appears to be past, present, future. But actually, that's fashioned also by mind. From absolute view, as far as I know, time is an illusion, linearity is an illusion, sequentiality is an illusion, choice is an illusion, free will is an illusion, and something to be done is an illusion, soul evolution is an illusion. The cosmic plan and soul evolution are illusory. They're all manifestations of the illusion of limits or our perception of limits, which is illusory. And so, yeah, from the higher perspective, as far as I know, choices have already been made. The future is already done. Now, that's from not necessarily even higher self view, or higher self can access that, but I think it's really from seventh density and beyond and outside the octave. And in the Matrix movie, in Matrix 1 or 2, I forgot, when Neo goes to the Oracle, she talks about that. And somebody who's quick might be able to find that online. She says something like, you've already made the choice, your job is to understand the choices you've already made. And that's super esoteric in my view, that in one way, we've already made the choices of a lifetime. And our work is to bring love, understanding, or green ray, blue ray, activation, or perspective. Perception, blue, green ray, green, blue center, wisdom, love, wisdom, based perception into the choice, the life whose choices we've already made, although we're not recognizing that. So yes, free will would be an illusion. You see, the first distortion of the law of one is the law of free will. Distortion means relative view, limited perception. A distortion is basically relative view, limited perception, conception, limited understanding, still under sway of the illusion of limits, or perceiving limits, perceiving duality, and from that perspective, all the choices of a life have already been made or can be known as already completed, but I would say it's really even above the higher self level. It's really what higher self will tap into from the seventh density totality complex. So yeah, you can surely say that from absolute view, choice and free will are both illusory. Definitely. And that's why Ra said that the crystallized healer has no will. Now, you can say that the origin of light is the action of free will upon love. But to say that the creator has free will is not to say that it has choice. Meaning, it's not a matter of this or that. It's only a matter of this. And we perceive this or that, which is choicefulness, or what we experience as free willing. The logos, as far as I know, which is not too much because I'm not, in eighth density, has freedom will, freedom of will, but would not experience choice either. Like Ra said, the creator discerned a concept. The concept was finity. Did the creator choose to discern that? No. The creator simply discerned it as part of its infinity, the infinity of possibility. But when you then go into, creation and manifestation of light, using its freedom will upon its infinite love generating light, there then becomes a desire, the original desire that entities seek and become one. That desire, though, again, doesn't necessarily be called a choice, because there's a choicelessness to living in infinite unity. Infinity unity beyond limits, beyond light, actually. Seventh density, in a sense, is moving out of it's the bridge between intelligent infinity. It's the gateway density, right? It's the gateway bridge shuttle density, seven, between intelligent infinity, eight, and it's bringing into discernible energy, intelligent energy through six in sixth chakra. So seven is very much the bridge from this octave to the next, and or from light or intelligent energy to intelligent infinity, and that level of being would also be free of duality and unity, while higher self is still in the unified self. Seventh density is basically experiencing infinity, is in the flow of infinity in a sense, beyond unified self. So at that level, seven and eight, seven and out of the octave, free will and choice and the entirety, I believe, of soul evolution and cosmic plan is seen as an illusion or ultimately insubstantial and empty of abiding being. Yeah, I mean, the experience of doing is illusory, and the conception of purpose is also insubstantial. You see, there's relative truth and there's absolute. So relative truth really means that what I perceive and what I conceive has a relative existence. It's the relative illusory existence of that which is insubstantial and impermanent. The relative experience of all that is sunya. The nama rupa, name and form, naming activity and the experience of subject object. That is surely our experience. And that experience is ultimately insubstantial anatta and anicca, impermanent, and sunya or empty, meaning it's empty of substantial abiding beingness. It's like a flickering light that we're labeling. Now, what's the purpose of evolution? There is none. What is the purpose of creation? There is none. From the perspective of infinity. Now, from our perspective, we can say the creator wishes to experience itself. It wishes to explore infinity. It wishes to experience the illusion, or it wishes to experience apparent evolution in apparent linear time and space, apparent linear time and apparent substantial space, development of consciousness, the apparent development of apparent separative consciousness through the apparent experience or illusory experience of linear temporality, past, present, future, with some apparent experience of subjectivity and subject-object duality. It wishes for that entire insubstantial experience to be for its own edification, and simply, I think, to explore the apparent reality of illusion as another potential of infinity. But actually, there is no purpose to creation. That's why it comes down to lila. That's why the Hindus talk about lila, which means play, that Parabrahman or Brahman the creator, or creation as is basically the infinite creator just playing. Why? Because it's a child who likes to play. That's it. There is no purpose. And so you say, what's your purpose? Up to you. Do whatever you want. But the thing is, you can't develop, you can't know, you can't really achieve liberation from suffering. You see, that's why really Gautama and Buddhism is singular among all religions and all metaphysics and all traditions on earth, in my view. It's singular because it frames the essential purpose of human life or existence, ultimately soul evolution and the entirety of the octave, as the movement from suffering and avidya, dukkha and avidya, to happiness and liberation or freedom from illusion, freedom from suffering. Now the Hindus talk about that too, but they talk about moksha, and Gautama to a large extent is really talking about that we experience dukkha no matter what, and that our relative experience in the octave is dukkha no matter what, meaning it's stressful or unsatisfactory. And so you don't have any purpose. And you can say that from the highest levels of being or from infinity, from the perspective of infinity, from infinite awareness, there is no conception of purpose. But action occurs nonetheless. And there is no conception of choice, but action occurs nonetheless. Just like the crystallized healer has no will, but still acts. Its nature is its purpose. Ra said that, in coming in speaking to Don through LNL, working with the Egyptians in the past, their purpose is simply their nature, to express the law of one or unity, their experience of unified self. So they have no purpose, aside from simply being and expressing naturally their nature, being as they are, which is what we can call an expression of their nature, answers the question as to purpose. But there is no purpose independent of simply being as it is, meaning Ra being as they are, or the Logos, infinity, being as it is. The purpose of creation is simply the expression of infinity, in my view, at most subtle level. There is no purpose, but there is simply the expression of its nature. And therefore, there is no free will, because it's a distortion, right? The first distortion of the law of one is free will, which means without distortion, yeah, no, there is no more free will, nor choice, nor path, nor substantial reality to time and space itself, nor the whole path of evolution in the octave. That whole thing is insubstantial, sunyā empty, anicca impermanent, and ultimately illusory or like a dream, and that the entirety of the octave and soul evolution and the dimensions is an experience or a manifestation of what Ra calls the illusion of limits, the concept of light. The entirety of soul evolution cosmic plan is a manifestation of an aspect of infinity, nature, namely the illusion of limits, or the apparent manifestation of apparent limits, whose nature is illusory or insubstantial, which itself is simply a manifestation of the infinite, of one infinite possibility. Well, Ra, when Ra says, the question is, creation essentially happens in the mind, what creation do you mean? You mean the creation of the octaves and light? Yes, the octaves and, the apparent manifestation of soul evolution in the apparent, excuse me, structural framework of cosmic plan, dimensions, octaves, all of that, which we may call creation or light, the genesis of light, occurs, is a manifest, is occurring in the infinite mind of infinity, or incurring in the space of infinite mind, or the logoic mind, yes. The creator being intelligent infinity, or infinity which has all essential attributes to an infinite degree. You can say that the infinite will of the logos, or the creator before the logos, its infinite will is akin to its spirit complex. Its infinite awareness, you see, there's omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. These are attributes of the one infinite creator. Infinite power, omnipotence. Infinite consciousness, omniscience. Infinite presence, omnipresence. These correspond, you can say, to spirit, bo spirit, mind, body. Intelligent infinity is basically the omniscience of infinity. The law of free will is ultimately derivative of the infinite will or omnipotence of infinity, and the manifestation of light, or the octaves and the densities, and then beings using vehicles, the experience of consciousness, dualistic consciousness going to non-dual consciousness, the dualistic sense of self to the unified self, to the complete non-referentiality of infinite selfhood, or infinity itself. That transit is also the transit of the mind, of infinity. It's experiencing light in the form of beings going through time and space. You can you we use the word consciousness to indicate dualistic awareness, and we use the term awareness to indicate we, meaning in this teaching here, not me, the royal we. We are here if we're agreeing on terms. We are using the term consciousness to pertain to dualistic awareness, or the subject-object referentiality mind, and non-dual consciousness, or unified self, which is still conscious, you see. Higher self is not finished with the skandhas fully, is not finished with ignorance either, obviously. It's not out of the octave. Non-dual consciousness, or unified self, transits then to infinite awareness, which is of the nature of, the infinite creator, or intelligent infinity as it is. Yeah, no, the thing about beingness is that that's a word. Beingness actually, to me, is more properly used, it can be used both in a relative and absolute way. Relative beingness is simply the mind's fashioned experience before higher, up to the level of higher self. So dualistic consciousness is a form of beingness, or we're experiencing the beingness of dualism. properly beingness or formally beingness is also used to describe the awareness of higher self, which is non-dual consciousness. So non-dual consciousness is often equated to the word beingness. Now, is there any creation beyond consciousness? Well, if consciousness is used to describe dualistic awareness or self subject-object dual awareness, duality-based consciousness, then creation is itself an artifact of dualistic consciousness. And so the whole realm of nama rupa, name and form, or concept, consciousness and energy fields or dimensions, and mind body spirit complex, seven bodies, energy fields and chakras, that structure of energy arises out of ignorance, avidya. And before, when without avidya, there is no subject object conceiving. So ahamkara, which to me is the eighth fetter, equivalent to the eighth fetter in Buddhism, self conceit, coming out of restlessness and basic ignorance, tenth fetter, avidya, ignorance, basic ignorance, and ninth fetter, restlessness or apparent vibration, actually. Apparent contrast or apparent activity or free will gives rise to ahamkara, eighth fetter, self-conceit, and that gives rise to an experience of creation. Relative view, obviously, there is a creation that's born, arises, born, and therefore arises, persists, and then passes away. The three states, arising like Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. That experience of arising and passing away is all associated with ignorance or avidya. And that's why Gautama called nibbana, or freedom from illusion, freedom from ignorance, the deathless. There's no death because there's no birth. And so there's no creation. There's no experience of creation in terms of knowing reality. For those basically in seventh density and out, yet the sense of beingness can be applied, to any state of mind. It can also be explained as consciousness freed of duality, but consciousness, the unified consciousness of higher self or unified self that Ra talked about, to me, has not yet done with avidya, and so it's not yet emptied out into infinite awareness or infinity, which is out of the octave. But yes, creation itself is a manifestation of avidya or ignorance. Now, there are guardians in eighth density and Nityananda Gautama and guys like that, who are still doing work in the octave, but they probably wouldn't call it infinity. They probably, conceive of it as some kind of shimmering of infinity. Dancing thoughts. Like that. So thank you again. Please take good care of yourself. See you next time, and good night.